Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hello, this is Tally the Communication Doctor, and I'm really excited today because I have Gary Turner on my show. And just to introduce Gary, Gary is the creator of The Listening Organisation, and he also is a podcaster. And I'm really excited because I've actually been on Gary's show, so a little bit of promotion there, and his show is called Value in Vulnerability. And I found that just really powerful within itself. But I'm just going to dial back. And as I'm introducing you, Gary, I just want you to talk to me a little bit about the creator of The Listening Organisation and what that is about. Fire away.
Oh, lovely. Well, firstly, lovely to be on your show. Thanks for the invite, Tanya. The Listening Organisation for me came about a couple of years ago because I've not always been a great listener. And I think when I talk about listening, I come at it, Tanya, from the point of not only listening to others, but listening to ourselves. And I don't think I've always been a good listener to what my feelings, emotions, and thinking are telling me. So I'm very much outside of my body when listening in the past, but now I try and look at the inner work of listening as well.
I love that. So I'm picking up from that you are an internal listener rather than just being an external listener. You're also listening to that inner voice. Are we talking from a real perspective of spirituality, or are we just talking about a journey that you're on? Can you explain that to me, that inner voice and where that kind of idea comes from?
No, sure. How long have you got, Tanya? it's a wonderfully insightful question you've asked, because if you'd said to me, even as recent as 12 months ago, the word spirituality, I would genuinely have been like, what do you mean, Tanya? Spirituality? I just did not see our innate energy and spirituality for what it is. Mm. Whereas last August, I woke up to that. So to answer your question, I've been on quite a journey, I would say, over the last 3 to 4 years. But with your podcast being called Real Stories, the real story for me started back in age 12, 13. When I was physically and psychologically bullied for 2 years at school. And I'd never, or certainly as I was socialized to believe, we don't talk about those things. So didn't tell parents, didn't tell teachers, didn't tell anybody. And whilst I didn't have any material psychological challenges from that, it's interesting going to university several years later and getting heavily into the dance scene and all the things that come with that. And what that led me to do was actually self-harm. So I used to come out after a night out, 6 in the morning, and literally hit myself because I had such low self-worth. And it sounds crazy to say right now, but those were a couple of the early stage stories I was telling myself that I didn't listen to. Those were things that I told myself were true, and I held on to those for the next 20 years.
Wow. I'm just going to dial back there, because as I was listening to you and you said you had been bullied, I just want to go a little bit deeper. What did people bully you about? Because I think that is key as well, because some of those voices and what is said to you stays with you, but you can also overcome it. And would you like to share that story with me? What were you bullied about that led you to that point of?
So yeah, I was targeted, Tanya, basically as the expat, the person that came in from England to Wales at the age of 12. And there was no real rhyme or reason as to why I was bullied. It was just the case that I guess I was an easy target for the lead bullies. There was multiple people in the gang. It was all male and there's no females in there. But there was very much one leader of that gang with a lot of followers, would be the way I would put it.
You know, that's really interesting, because as you talked about that, I just totally resonated, because I grew up in an area that was very white, working class. And when I went to school, I was the only black girl in the school. Not in the school, sorry, in the class. I think in the school there must have been about 10 or 11. But basically, that whole thing of being the outsider is really, really key. But it's just horrible because as a young person, you just want to interact and then you're singled out. And people, I suppose that bully right now probably wouldn't realise the impact that he would have had on your life years later. And I suppose if you could say something to the bully now, what would you say to him?
It's a really interesting question, actually, Tanya, because for the first time in many, many years, I actually know where he works. He lives in Singapore. And it's really, really funny. Six months ago or so, I was just like, I do wonder what he's doing, curiously, not from a, you know, I particularly want to go and have that conversation, but now I've done the work on myself. The thing I would say to him genuinely, Tanya,
yeah,
is what were you in so much pain about back in those days? Mm. What was your suffering you was going through to have to project that onto me at that time?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a really insightful thing to do because I've asked that question before, not in this situation, but to people, what would you say to the bully? Because it sometimes isn't about attack, is it? It's about understanding what they've done. And that is, as you said, because you've done the work on yourself, you're realising that you don't have to be angry about it now, because that person was probably going through something themselves and they projected that onto you. But you were still a victim of that and that affected you in your life, but you've moved past that. Now, when you say you've done the work on yourself, could you tell me a little bit more about what you mean? What work have you done on yourself? Just for my audience who may not be as aware or from a self-development perspective, or they may be thinking, oh, I want to work on myself. What could I do?
Yeah, sure. So I'd like to tie together actually your wonderful question around earlier on around the spirituality element. So if I just do a checkered overview of where I have invested in myself in case it is helpful for you and your audience. So I paid for 6 hours of professional coaching in February 2018. Yeah. And that was the first time up until that time, if I'm honest, Tanya, I was one of those people working in corporate, which I still do. But I had this sort of be in my bonnet that if I work for an employer, they owe me development. So I had no ownership of my own development at all. You know, I think sometimes we can be a bit of a victim in the workplace and believe that others owe us when actually it's all down to us. You know, we can develop ourselves for very, very cheap amounts of money these days. And I think I paid for 6 hours of coaching February last year, and that really woke me up. That experience helped me realize all of the things I described to you earlier on, which is actually the self-harming, the bullying. And then later on, 4 years ago, I burnt myself out as well. And all of those things, I did not tie them together, Tanya. I saw them as independent acts. But what my coach made me see is that it was just emotional suppression. I hadn't spoken about any of those experiences. So what I'm now on a mission to do, and that's part of why the listening organization exists, is to offer talks and workshops on helping people see that our reality is thought created by us. And this comes back to the spirituality bit. You know, nothing on the outside of us causes us to feel anything. It's always what we tell ourselves about ourselves in the moment that causes our reality. And I know it sounds a little bit woo-woo potentially for some people, but getting that understanding that it is all on us is actually very, very freeing, although it may not sound like that.
You know what? I think that is quite profound. And I just want to say that again. So reality is thought created by us. And that's really interesting because, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself too. And in just hearing you with this whole talk about self-development, everything comes back to us, doesn't it, as individuals in terms of how we move forward, because it is easier maybe to confront the bully or to blame other people, or even when people go through therapy, I also often have clients who are still blaming their parents for certain things. And it's nice to come to that point and say, let's let go of that blame, but let's look inside ourselves. And I think that's what you're saying. Let's look inside ourselves, because the reality is the thought that's created within us, and that helps us to move forward. So how would you interpret that?
No, it's beautiful, Tanya. It's absolutely beautiful. And I think to try and make this real for your listeners, One of my big shifts, another part of my development I did last year was with a chap, Piers Thurston. He runs a retreat called Quality of Mind. And what this is about is mind, consciousness and thought. And actually, it sounds so obvious, but I was sitting in this pub garden in Berkshire, so just to the west of London.
Yeah.
And on day two of this retreat, Tanya, I was sitting there. And we didn't take any notes. You know, it wasn't one of these workshops where you spend half your time not listening and just scrawling notes in the hope you can use them in the future. This was a totally immersive experience where I didn't write down a single word over 3 days. Absolutely. So on day two of this retreat, which was, and this is the really profound part, which I hope brings to life what you and I are discussing right now, is that I burnt myself out. And listen to the language, listener, please. I burnt myself out. At the time when I burnt myself out 4 years ago, I did challenge bullying in the workplace. It took a lot of courage for me to do that. I stood up, I was accountable, and I said, look, this is unacceptable. This shouldn't be going on here. And at that time, the line manager said, he's got something going on at home. Leave it, Gary. So I had the courage to challenge the bullying, but I was told to go away. In that moment, that was just one of many things that happened. Other things that happened, I was told I was, inverted commas, playing at human resources, that basically that leader didn't believe. So basically he was bullying me as well, but didn't realize. So there was systemic bullying going on in multiple areas. But at the time, I thought, then my thinking, I thought those things caused me to burn out. But what I realized sitting in this pub garden on the day two of this retreat, Tanya, was that it wasn't those acts, those things that happened, which should never have happened. Let's be really clear.
Yeah.
Totally wrong, totally unethical. They should not happen in the workplace. But they did not cause me to burn out. On those things happening, I told myself internally, you're not good enough. You're in the wrong place. You're not going to be successful here. Your face doesn't fit. Once you realize it's actually the stories you tell yourself when something outside of you happens, that's what causes your experience, not the circumstance outside of you. It's a deeply profound thing to understand, but it shifts you from victim to accountability really, really quickly when you can understand that.
Yeah, well, I love that. And that whole kind of shift from victim to accountability, because it's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy to go around in circles and that whole thing, as I said earlier, about blame. But you, when you said just a minute ago, I burnt myself out, it really, really made me think. So I work with a lot of clients who are going through the burnout, and there is that, there is those shifts with blame, and sometimes they can't see what they are doing, or they can't see that they are, you know, they're not kind of taking that accountability, as you said, that accountability of self. And I suppose that is a process. I always say that is a journey. You can't just say to someone, take accountability for it. It's a process that you kind of have to go through, which I feel is a self process, an internal process, because I think we all, some of us get there when we start looking at ourselves or looking outside ourselves to look within to see what's really going on. And you obviously went through that journey where you are there and you are processing and you are building this community now, this listening organization, which I love, listening organization, and within the name it says so much in terms of that internal listening, but also inviting others to listen with you and to kind of communicate. So I just think that's absolutely amazing, Gary, absolutely amazing. And I want to talk a little bit more, moving on from your personal experience, about this community that you are creating called Humans First, because everything, all of your titles are really kind of heart-led. If I look at it now, you know, value and vulnerability, listening organization, and now you're involved with this Humans First organization as well. And what is it? Is it what draws you to that? Is it the title, or is it just you just wanting to be truly authentic and wanting to attract the right people? Because words are really powerful.
Well, I can tell you, I'm absolutely buzzing, Tanya, as you reflect that back to me. And I really appreciate you holding the mirror up. I've never actually joined those dots of those different things I'm involved in and seen that such clarity around the heart. You're right. I think the reason I'm drawn into these things is because it is what we are. You know, we are all connected. And again, this is a very pragmatic comment and not one. Yeah, of course, it's spiritual, but it's also based on reality. That if we think about for a second, and you spoke about you being bullied because, you know, you were the only, you know, black girl in your, or you in your class. You know, I was bullied because I was the outsider. You know, I really come from a place of forgiveness for all of these people. And I think that's why I step into heart so much more than I did before, because when we come from a place of oneness, which we all are, you know, there isn't 2, 10, 12, 50 human races. There is one singular human race of which we are all part. Yes, we look different. We've got different backgrounds. We speak differently. We have different, you know, socioeconomic groups. But all of those are just labels. You know, none of those are causal to our well-being or to our thinking. Mm. And once we allow ourselves to like ourselves, to forgive others, and to believe in the best as us connected, you know, being the best for ourselves individually, but also as a collective, singular human race, everything just opens up, Tanya. And I think I try and come from that place so much more than I did. And because of that, I'm just drawn into these more heart-led movements.
No, I love it. I love it. And I suppose what I get from that is that whole everything opens up. So when you are true to yourself and you are truly authentic, that door of abundance, of authenticity and connection connects with you. That's how I kind of put it together. Thank you so much, Gary. And before I leave you, I'd just like to say, is there anything that you would like to say that, I mean, you've already been inspiring, but anyone, if you'd like to say by somebody who has inspired you, any quote or anything you'd like to share, just to kind of round it up?
Yeah, there's two little things, if I may take 60 seconds, actually, Tanya. There's two things. One is, I'd like anybody that's listening, that's given us the gratefulness, you know, the gratitude of their time to listen to you and I talk today. Part, what I didn't mention in our earlier conversation is part of also the reason I burnt out is because I was chasing the wrong things. Mm. I believe that happiness and my success was tied to things that are outside of me. So I had the job title, I had the nice salary, I had the nice home, all of the things that we're taught in school matter more than anything.
Yeah.
Yet I still burnt out because I had heartache. Literally, I literally had an ache in my heart before I went on my personal journey of work 5 years ago. So those things are fine. You know, they're nice shots in the arm. They give you a little bit of energy in the short term. But please, listener, don't believe that your life is made better and richer by all of the things outside of you. It is all about human connection. So that's one thing. And the other thing, my favorite quote, Tanya, comes from Buckminster Fuller, who was a chemist. And yeah. He says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And I think that sums up why I get drawn to all these heart-led movements, is exactly that quote means so much to me.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you just said it so well. You've not got it in front of you, you just know it. Wow. I think that's brilliant in terms of just totally resonating with someone. And this person's a chemist. A chemist, you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. So just for anybody, you know, that's, I love that, because I was almost expecting you to quote someone like Brené Brown or or Maya Angelou or, you know, or Einstein. So that's really interesting that you're quoting the chemist. It just proves people are people. It doesn't matter what sector of life or the world you come from. Everybody has profound quotes and profound things to say. Thank you so much, Gary. I just want to thank you again for coming on my show and for sharing your story and for being so honest about your journey and your process, and just to allow people the space to know that life is not all about everything aesthetic from the outside. It all starts from the inside. And I think that is how I want to end the show. Thank you very much, Gary.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for having me on, Tanya. It's been fun.
Lovely. Take care. Adios.
Thanks.
I think one of my learnings from this show is inner listening is key, and forgiveness and understanding the bully. I think it was great when Gary talked openly about understanding the bully and asking him, well, what was he going through at that time? The other thing that really resonated with me, and I feel may resonate with quite a few of my audience, is that shift from victim to accountability. And I think it's really important to take accountability of the part that we play, or you may play, in your own burnout, or you may play in your own addiction, or whatever it is you're going through, but taking responsibility without placing blame on others. really, really enjoyed that talk and enjoyed that show with Gary. And again, thank you for giving me that time and that space to listen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. To listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.